I knew this lot, everybody would be almost ready to take a nap. So he put me down for the after lunch session. Everybody is, kind of dozing in and out. Thank you for the meal. Good to be with you today. We appreciate the elders here at this congregation, the work God has given them and the work they are doing. And I kind of feel like Pastor Michael, when you start studying subjects like this and trying to prepare for a conference, you come under conviction yourself. And you realize, wow, I have a lot of work to do. Communication in marriage is a topic I've been assigned. I was thinking about some communication I just received from my granddaughter just recently as I was there in the living room and in the wingback chair and kind of being over. She walks up and, she's communicating with her body language, but I haven't yet decoded what that means yet. But she informed me, "Grandfather, where did your hair go?" So I proceeded to try to give her an answer. It fell out. So that satisfied her, at least momentarily. So this topic of communication, something that all of us continually work at, and we battle with it, because there's something that always gets in the way, and that's that old fallen, depraved nature in each one of us. I was telling my wife, I listened to several guys on this topic trying to prepare for today. But one thing that I kept finding was missing was they weren't using any scripture. Even the guys that were Christian marriage ministries maybe alluded to one or two in an hour talk, but never in a foundation based on the Word of God, even though they could have put a lot of scripture with the things they were sharing. And with some good information, but that was missing from their lectures. So I want today to look at some different points, but I want to make the application as we go along in these today. I guess a good question to ask to start is, what is the purpose of our communication with our spouse? What is the purpose of that communication? They say that we communicate primarily not by language with our spouse, but by our facial expression and by our body language. Now you can communicate and say, "Honey, I love you." And you'll get a good response. But if she says, "You haven't told me you love me lately," "I said I love you." That tone, that facial expression, she's going to decode that in a totally different way. Then maybe they meant it, but they said it the wrong way. The communication there that was sent. Same words, different expression, different tone, and it does communicate more of the language than what the words really were conveying. And so we have this problem with communication in marriage. So I want you to turn to the book of Genesis today with me, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, while you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the great love that is demonstrated, Lord, toward us in the person of the Lord Jesus. His life, his death, and his continual advocacy on our behalf as our advocate and our high priest. And Lord, we thank you today that you have set a great example for us as husband and wives. May we look to you. And may we, Lord, find our direction. And, Lord, may we also this day, Lord, strive and desire to communicate with our spouse as you communicate with the church. That Christ might be glorified, our lives might be fulfilled, and we might move forward, God, in becoming the image bearers of Christ more and more. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So first of all, I want to talk about purpose. In communication, or purpose of communication. I was told to make it more like a lecture, maybe than a sermon, but after Brother Michael this morning, I said, well, I kept, my wife said, it's hard for any preacher to get up and lecture. So, and that's a lot of truth to that. What I want to look at today in Genesis, I want to look at the chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, just different portions of it. And then look at some rules for communication. In chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26, we read these words. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God, first of all, states his purpose of why he is going to create man, what he wants him to do, what his duty will be when he is created. There was communication before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, covenanting before the world began, that Christ would come, that Christ would give his life, that he would die. So in that communication, we can also today, I believe, truthfully say, man was also in that communication, that he would create man. And this would be man's purpose. And the purpose would be, as he says, for creating him, but it's first communicated to man in verse 28. God blessed him, and God said unto them. God said unto them. Now, man was created, contrary to modern teaching, even by some theistic evolutionists, man was created intelligent. Man was created mature. He was not created a grunter who had to develop the ability to speak nor to comprehend. He was created mature. Intelligent, intellectual. That's how God made man. He said everything was good, even man. Now, if man had been a grunter, God could not really have said that, could he? So he wasn't a grunter. So God communicated to Adam and Eve his duty, to their duty, the ones who had been created in the image of God. He gave man's life purpose. He was to work and subdue the earth, and he was to take dominion of it. That was the purpose for which he created man. That's what he called Adam and Eve to do. That's what he commanded them to do. Now, often today when we stop and contemplate our communication problems or our reason for communicating with our spouse, I dare say we very, very seldom think about this. Why? What is my communication with my wife and my husband? What is the purpose of it? What is the basic principle that God has given me that directs my communication? And so I want to just talk about this for a few minutes as it relates to us as couples and even young people here who are not yet married, who will, Lord willing, someday marry. When a husband or wife fail to embrace God's purpose for their life, life becomes frustrated. And the next thing that happens, communication is strained. When you do not embrace God's purpose for life, life becomes frustrated and communication is strained. Can we rightfully say today that marriages are having a great problem in communicating? There's a great strain on marriage. Divorce is at an all-time high for Americans. And it's the same inside the professing church as it is outside the professing church. And so what happens is when this relationship becomes frustrated and the communication is strained, it's then a battle between husband and wife of whose will, whose purpose will be fulfilled. Whose purpose is going to be fulfilled? His purpose, her purpose, his will, hers, her will, then a battle ensues. But the Bible teaches us here in the book of Genesis, they were to be one. And we'll read some more of this in just momentarily. But they were to be a team or one under God, fulfilling their duty together. We live in a world that has made men and women supposedly to be at war with each other. The sexes are at war. We're bombarded with this idea constantly by the news media. Constantly. That we can't live in peace with each other. Well, this is true. We can't. Because people are not advocating living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if we are not getting our purpose from Christ and from the one who created us, what then becomes our purpose? The purpose will dictate how we communicate. So it's a good question to stop and ask ourselves. What is our purpose as a married couple? And here's normally what happens. Instead of working as a team and one under God to subdue the earth, what happens is this frustration and this communication breakdown, we move to subdue, but to subdue our spouse. That's where it leads to. I wonder how many sessions you were talking to Pastor Michael and Pastor John today. This is what's going on when you talk to couples. The husband's trying to subdue his wife. The wife's trying to subdue her husband. Instead of working together to bring the earth into subjection. As they subject themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the purpose that really is taking place? And if they're not finding their purpose, even for marriage, from the Word of God and from Christ Himself, then their will becomes the driving force in their marriage. Do you know how frustrating it is to try to be God? This is what's happening. The husband believes that his will should be fulfilled. The wife believes her will should be fulfilled. And that means paramount. And because of that, they have actually, without knowing it, without saying it, even in the church world, dethroned Christ. And their purpose had become the life's purpose. And that purpose, my friend, is frustrating. Because no human being on this earth is going to fulfill your perfect desires. This isn't going to happen. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount. One of my favorite places in the Word of God. But in Matthew chapter 7, he says in verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What is God's purpose? What is God's will? Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name have cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works?" Then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." I taught our children when we were young the word iniquity. Simple term is just doing your will instead of God's will. Trying to have your purpose fulfilled instead of God's purpose. And God says to them here, "I don't know you." Your purpose and His purpose were two totally opposites. The purpose of God is for man, as the Catechism says, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We glorify God by doing His purpose, fulfilling His will in our life. Husband and wife are to work together to accomplish the work God has called them to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill the purpose for which they were created. And Adam and Eve were to work together to fulfill their duty that God had given them. What does your communication to your spouse today reveal about your purpose in marriage? What does your communication, your words, your body language, the way you live your life, what are you communicating to your spouse is your purpose in marriage? Now, I can say there have been times in my life I thought about Brother Michael making all those confessions. We're always making those confessions. But when it was my will that was my purpose, I can say I learned it. I became very frustrated. And when my frustration, again, reiterated again, my communication with my wife broke down. Because my will wasn't being done. My purpose wasn't being fulfilled. I can remember as a newly married couple, I was in the first year we were in our pastoral internship. We were called to go pastor a church. And I would go out to the facility to study and always want to start with prayer and seeking the Lord. She can testify this. I'd come back to house, look, I'm sorry. My communication with God is strained because my communication with you is in the dump. It's strained. So we have to keep those communication lines open. And the way we do that is we find that our purpose is God. Our purpose is Christ. This is why we're created today, church. To do the will of God. To do what God has called us to do. And so God created them with purpose, Adam and Eve in verse 28. Go out, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. This is what God has called us to do. I want to encourage you today, make that your purpose as a couple. Make that your purpose as a couple. When you have as your mission, your purpose in life, let's work together. How can we work together to accomplish the purpose God has brought us together for? Christ becomes a central focus then of your communication, of your life's purpose, and what God has called you to do. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15 through verse 17, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. So again, God is communicating with man. God is communicating with Adam. God places him in the garden, speaks to Adam, instructing him what is off limits. And what his duty is. And his limitations. You might say it was a testing for the larger garden outside or the earth itself. Some people, theologians refer to this as his pilot project. Where man was to take this smaller area. And it was to be a testing. His obedience to the Lord. Would he follow the purpose for which God created him? Or would he deviate from that? In this great liberty that God had given Adam over the earth, there were limitations placed on him, even in the garden. And that was, he had to stay within the bounds that God had set. God set the boundaries. God told him what the boundaries were. Well, today God has placed you and your spouse, as it were, in a garden, your home. Your marriage. You're a unit. You're to dress it, and you are to keep it. That's your responsibility. And yes, there are boundaries in marriage. There have been some movements in the church in the last 20 years, and I'm sure before then as well, as you read history, where that the men in the home, the man, the husband, the father, actually believed that he had no limitations. None whatsoever. But that is not true. And we learned that here in the book of Genesis. There are boundaries. The relationship between husband and wife is mediated by the Word of God. A lot of times we will say, well, our marriage is personal. Well, maybe in one technical sense it might be, but no, it is not biblically. Your marriage is mediated by the Word of God. Men, how you treat your wife, wives, how you respond to your husband. We can't just do anything we want to. We have limits. All the authority we have is delegated from God. We are limited. We are, as He told Adam, to dress. And the Hebrew word here simply means to work or to serve. Adam was to work in the garden, and he was to serve the Lord. Here's another problem we're having in communication in marriage. We think the spouse works for us, primarily. And the spouse is there to serve us, primarily. The truth is, we are put together to serve the Lord again with His purpose in mind. And yes, serving the Lord does mean that we're going to be serving each other. But we must see it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. You know, just recently it became evident in my thinking, in my own mind. We read so many scriptures in the Word of God, and we apply them to the people out there. Or it applies to the church at large. We don't relate it to our marriage. You know, my wife, before she was my wife, was my sister in Christ. And you may not believe this, but she's still my sister in Christ. But a lot of men do not look at their wives as their sister in Christ. A lot of men would never communicate with a sister in Christ the way they communicate with their wife. Tone, verbal, bodily language. They wouldn't do that. I said, we need to see our wives as our sisters in the Lord. Wives to your husbands, brothers in Christ. It just puts a little different perspective in your thinking. And how you communicate. How you act and respond toward them. We lose sight of that in marriage. That they are brothers and sisters in Christ. With purpose. And we serve them as we serve the Lord. And He told Adam to keep. It means to hedge about. To guard, to protect, to attend to. If our marriage in our home is the garden that God has placed us in, what are we doing to protect that? The way we communicate will either help advance that garden and promote the health of that garden and protect that garden, or we can communicate in such a way as to tear it down. Proverbs has a lot to say about the way we communicate. A soft answer turns away wrath. A word fitly spoken. We think about that again when we are talking to somebody besides our spouse. We kind of restrain ourselves, right? But we're talking to our spouse, the old saying is we just turn loose and let it go. And I can tell you from experience, this old saying is true. If you fall off the handle, you're going to have a bad landing. And the more you fly off, the more communication breaks down. Because we have lost the purpose. And we no longer are attending to protecting or guarding that garden that God has given us. Now I want to go where Brother Michael a little bit earlier. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let's just look at this pastoral epistle briefly. Just a few verses this morning. Or this afternoon now, excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin reading with verse 1 there. This is the truth said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So this is a work outside of the garden that he's tending. It's to the larger area, right, outside of his garden. It's the church, the local congregation. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule or govern, you could say, his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, outside of his garden, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Qualifications to serve outside of your immediate garden is dependent upon how you are keeping your garden. Are you following me? Qualifications to move beyond the circle where you are to the larger circle of influence is dictated or commanded on the qualifications that are listed is how you govern or communicate in your home. Now it does say have a good report of those who are without. But the rest of them are his personal character and the way he governs his house, his home. We're still talking about communication in marriage. The way he communicates in the home, the way he behaves himself, handles himself in that smaller garden qualifies or disqualifies him for serving in the next circle of influence. Adam was in the garden. As I said, some say a pilot project. If he had succeeded there, which he didn't, he would then have moved out because the Lord already commanded him to take this to be the whole earth. Here's one problem we're having in the church world. We are trying to have influence in the wider circle of influence. We have not yet learned to communicate with our own spouses and with our children in our own homes. And because of it, the lack of biblical communication inside the home, the church world is not setting an example as a whole how we're to communicate under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so what's happening to us? Well, we're allowing our garden that God has given us to become infested, overrun, and completely in ruins. As Brother Michael said earlier, as he was sharing, a man believes that his calling, first and foremost, sometimes if he's called to preach, is to do just that. His family is secondary. But the way he pastors his family is what qualifies him to pastor in the larger circle of influence. We do a mentorship program. We go through these seven verses, and it takes quite a while because we break it down word each word and define it and look at it. What does this look like? How do you apply this to your life? Every man should aspire to meet these qualifications. Every man. The only one he may not be considering is teaching, but the teaching has to be qualified here that it's in that larger circle of influence because every man is commanded to teach his family. Now, I have to say guilty on my part again, but men are to wash their wives in the water of the Word. If we're not careful, what we're washing them in is our anger. Because our purpose is not the Lord's purpose. And when we do such things, communication breaks down, right? We can't work together. As he said earlier again, we can't talk. We can't work things out. We can't come together to get the work done that God has given us. Because we don't see that garden as being an important thing that God has first given us to do and to keep and to dress and to protect and to tend to. But it must be today, church. We must see that. Back in the book of Genesis, so God communicated with Adam, keep the garden and dress it and keep it. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I've said, often said that God gave away the first bride. He brought her to Adam. See what he would call her. And Adam said, what? This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's part of me. And we could turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, whether Michael read part of, the Bible says that we're to love our wives as Christ loves the church. No man yet ever hateth his own body. Adam's spouse, created by God, came from his side. Is the Lord telling us that we as men cannot hate our wife because God has made them part of who we are? They're part of us. We're to communicate to our wives. Yes, we love them, Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. We're to communicate that we love our wives. How do we communicate that to them? How do we let them know that we love them? I believe it's important today that the first thing we communicate to our wives is this, that we love the Lord. Our last daughter just married a couple months ago, and we told our children, one qualification that we have for the person you will marry is this, do they love God? They must love the Lord. Why? Because this is the love of God that will keep His commandments. Their purpose is God's purpose. The man is to love his wife. This is a commandment, right? If they love God, they'll love you. If you love God, sweetheart, to the girls, you'll reverence your husband. So we want our children to marry people that love the Lord, who see themselves as not separate, but as one in Christ. Again, with the purpose, the motive, to mature a family, to grow a family, to dress it, to protect it, to attend to it, and to keep it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 3 this morning, verse 1, we have deceptive communication. And the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, yet God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God will know that they eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The communication of the serpent, his intent was to deceive in order to lead man into rebellion with him against God. That was his desire. It was deceptive communication. That was the purpose of the enemy. Communication, therefore, was used to plunge the human race into sin. Think of that moment. Communication was used to plunge the human race into sin. I have seen my communication plunge people into sin. Even my spouse. Have you ever done that? Communication can be used to sin ourselves and to lead other people into sin. But we're to do all for what? Whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. But this communication was just to deceive her. And that he did. He deceived the woman. That communication that was deceptive was shared with a married couple. How do we know? Because Adam was there with her and she gave her husband with her. And he did it also. What was the challenge? What was he challenging? He was challenging the communication that God had given. Right? His communication was challenging the communication that God had given. God has said, don't eat of that tree. If you eat of it, you're going to die. Satan's communication was, you shall not surely die. I can tell you today, without reserve, if your communication is contrary to the will of God, you are going to kill your marriage. Proverbs 8:36 says, all they that hate me love death. Why are so many marriages dying today? The purpose is not God-centered. They're not keeping that garden that God has given them to keep, attending to it, protecting it. And the communication they are sharing is about themselves instead of the will of God again. And what does Satan tell them? You won't surely die. And here's what God is trying to keep you from. He's trying to tell them that God is communicating you what He's communicating to you, because He knows if He communicates the truth, He's saying God is lying, right? God's communicating false information to you because you won't surely die, but God is keeping you from being able for yourself to determine what's right and wrong. That's what He's saying to them. The communication that you believe today or act upon will dictate how you communicate to your spouse. Do you believe this communication? Or do you believe what, comes out of your heart? Think of this old saying we hear today. Movies, people use it. You just got to go with what's in your heart. We try to teach our children, don't go with your heart. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperate wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. You go with the communication of God, not what is in your heart. This is what's happening in communication in marriage. People are not accepting the dictates of God's communication, but they are accepting their own belief that they can establish what is right and wrong. In other words, they can establish the boundaries. Back to what we said earlier. They believe that the limits are set by them and not by God. And when they accept and believe this lie, they're going to endeavor to establish their standards for themselves and for their spouse. That's what they're going to do. The question again becomes then, in communication in marriage, whose standards will prevail? Man or the woman? Husband or wife? Father or mother? Children? Whose standards are going to prevail? So what we see is this communication leads to a separation from God Himself. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They went, they hid themselves from God as He came to commune with them. In Romans chapter 1, just one verse, the last verse there, in Romans chapter 1, we read, let me get there, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, do you think that Satan already knew some of what of the judgment of God? Yeah, he already cast him out, right? That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Having pleasure that he had deceived Eve and led man into rebellion against God's purpose, God's will, and God's limitations upon man. Marriage today has become, and it's a word phrase that people use, a war zone. A war zone. This is not the marriage that God teaches us about in His Word. We need to communicate the things that God has given us purpose for. What time is it when you sit down together with your wife, your husband, and you look at God's instructions and you communicate those things one to another? We might call that family worship. Now, Kathy and I, we were back a few years, we had five kids and they were at home. One of the things the Lord blessed us with was to have a daily time of worship with our family. And I can't tell you the immense blessing that has come from that for our children. And they even talk about it to this day. We didn't realize at the time. We give that as a testimony that God will bless you if you bring your little garden together, your children, your wife, men. Sit them down. Communicate to them your purpose. Communicate to them your will is to do the will of God. And that's your will for them. And for you and your wife together to do that. And to raise your children to do that. But as our children got older, and most of them were married, two girls married last, the Lord helped us to start developing a worship just by ourselves. Myself and Kathy together. It's been very rewarding. We're reading a book right now as we're going through it on revolt against maturity. And this is one of the things that's happened even in marriage. There's a revolt against maturing and being what God has called us to be. So I want to encourage you that last this morning, I want us to look at, the second point is rules for communicating. They're not going to be as long. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, just some rules when we communicate with each other. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, again the Sermon on the Mount, verse 37. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. In other words, mean what you say. You don't have to swear to it. You don't have to reiterate your word. When you communicate, your word should be truthful. One of the rules for communicating is your speech should be sincere and honest with your spouse. It should be sincere and it should be honest. Don't try to cover things up. Confess if you sin to your spouse. And what you're communicating should be sincere from your heart because you love God and you love your spouse and your desire is to do the purpose and the will of God. And so a rule for communicating with your spouse is be sincere. Be sincerely engaged. Be sincere in what you're saying. Be honest with what you are saying. I don't know if they've ever heard this, but I'm sure they have in counseling. He's never sincere about anything. I can't even be honest about anything. Secondly, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Through verse 32, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What is he saying about speech? Speech should have value. Our communication should have value to it. All this bitterness, this wrath, this anger, this clamorous evil speaking, all this malice. But yet it's almost like he says in the last verse that we're going to fail because we're also going to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Marriage must have in it this forgiveness that we've experienced from God being expressed toward our spouse. Husband to wife, wife to husband. There's a good book you might want to get and read. It's called When Sinners Say I Do. Because we need to learn to forgive. And communication, no doubt, causes more harm than anything else on a daily basis. So our speech should have value to it. Let it not have these characteristics to it, but let it be speech that contains value. Value. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, "But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Again, this is one of those verses you read, having a quarrel, and we always think of somebody outside the marriage. But probably most of your quarrels are with your spouse. Right? But we always seem to apply to people outside of our marriage. Who is your nearest neighbor? Your husband or wife. Right? That's your nearest neighbor. They live closer to anybody else. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Our speech should be wholesome. It should bring health. Again, it's tending that garden. It's doing what God has called us to do. In conclusion today, Christ is our most perfect example. Christ's life was with purpose. Brother Michael mentioned this earlier in his talk this morning. But Christ's life was with purpose. He came to communicate what he had received from the Father to man. I speak only those things, right, that have been given to me from the Father. I came to communicate, he said, the things of God, the things from the Father. I came to give those to you. The purpose that was ordained before the foundation of the Lord, of the world. Christ came to communicate these to us. If we cannot receive that communication, we will never be able to put our communication right with each other. Communication, as we said earlier, was used to plunge men into sin. God also used the communication to bring us back to Him. In Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, without turning there, it said that God in these last days spoke to us how? By His Son. God has spoken through His Son. We are here is the communication. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God communicated to us. Preserved for us, kept for us by God's providence. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through verse 17, we read in Romans chapter 10 about communication. How then shall they call Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed our obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, with belief I report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is it that Brother Michael and Brother Josh do every Lord's Day? They communicate to you God's word, what God has communicated to man. What is it we need to be communicating to our families? The word of God. Our conversation is seasoned with salt. The Bible says, have salt in yourselves. We need to season our life with the communication of God, with purpose. Establishing God's order in our life, in our family, and then we can affect the community at large outside of us, a circle of influence outside of us. But we must first get our garden in order. We must learn to communicate and have God's purpose as a driving force for our communication. Father, we thank you today that you have communicated to us, Lord, our purpose for life, our purpose for marriage. I do pray that you would cause our hearts to be prepared for your word. And God, you prepare your word for our hearts, that we might walk in truth, that our life might, Lord, fulfill your purpose, your will, your commands. That Christ might be glorified, that our lives might be filled with the joy of doing your will. As you spoke that day on the mount, and the Beatitudes, the Lord disposition we are to exist in life with. And all of those, Lord, are prefaced with blessed. Help us, Lord, I pray, to have the blessed life whereby we are communicating. For today, as this conference is about our spouse in marriage, communicating all of these beatitudes, Lord, in our home, in our marriage, to our spouse, to our children, that Christ might be exalted, and that our lives might be filled with the joy of knowing that we have received and been given by your grace a love for your purpose and your will. God, use this congregation. Lord, I pray to influence the circles around them and an outer circle, to influence the circles outside of this congregation, outside of their home. But I pray, first of all, God, help us to learn to communicate one with another according to your divine dictates, your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.